Hello everyone, we are back with another NFT Standard Overview. This is your host Pooja Ranjan and I welcome you to PeepAny episode 110. Today we are joined by Team Remark to discuss ERC-6220 composable NFTs utilizing equipable parts. ERC-6220 was documented in December 2022. The proposal is moved to final status in April this year. I'm super excited to invite Ian Turk, Steven Pineda, and Bruno from the team to share this EIP with us. Welcome back on PeepAny.
Hello. Thanks for having us back.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Thank you.
Well, this proposal suggests that ERC-6220 requires a EIP-165, EIP-721, EIP-5773, and EIP-6059. That means it is highly recommended to follow these proposals. And we do have episodes recorded with Ian and Steven on 5773 and 6059. And of course, EIP-721 with William Intriken. You may find the link in the description below. Please check it out. Moving on, I suppose we have got a presentation to be shared. So without further ado, let's peep in.
Great. So welcome to PeepAneep, ERC-6220, so composable NFTs utilizing equipable parts. Let's talk about the team for just a brief minute. I know that we've done this in the previous two PeepAneeps, but just to get on the same speed. So before we started with our proposals, we're mostly still unique digital tokens. They could contain audio files, images, computer code art, and many other things, and their ownership was secured on blockchain and they had unique IDs so that you were owner of this exact token. But the problem was that NFTs were static. So that meant you only had one file and it's presented the same everywhere. And no matter what you did, this wouldn't change. There have been attempts at proprietary attempts to tackle that, but we wanted to build kind of a universal solution to that. So Remark standards are a set of standards that allow NFTs to move into the next step of the evolution. So we call that NFTs 2.0. And with composable NFTs utilizing equipable parts, we kind of bring together the previous two ERCs that we talked about. So multi-asset ERC, 5773, as well as nestable ERC, so 6059. And in essence, ERC-6220, the one that we're talking about today, is NFTs equipping NFTs. And, you know, we could stop here and say thank you and go our separate ways, but let's dive into it. So equipable parts facilitate composing of NFTs. And this allows you, the owner, to kind of narrate where you want your NFT to go or how you want your NFT to look or, you know, how you want it composed, because it's not necessarily that your NFT is an image that is being composed. It could be a song. It could be a house, you know. So this proposal actually standardizes two smart contracts, or rather two interfaces. One is the equipable collection interface. And the equipable collection interface is really quite similar to 721 with the equipping logic added. 721, yeah, with the equipping logic added. But there is also catalog, and catalog is what powers the equipping, kind of, you know, because catalog contains parts that can be cherry-picked to compose your NFTs. And a cool thing about catalogs is also that you can have one catalog for multiple equipable collections. So you can have multiple equip smart contracts that all utilize the same catalog. And that can be useful for many different use cases. For example, Metaverse, I know it's not as hot of a term as it was half a year or a year ago, but still, you could have a sandbox Metaverse where, you know, there would be a bunch of collections building their own microcosmoses and their own ecosystems there. But then they would go back to the catalog and they would all use the same one. So this is really cool because then the assets or the parts could be shared between those collections without any additional logic needed. So there are also different types of parts that we define in the catalog. One are fixed parts and one are slot parts. And fixed parts are fixed. So this means that they contain their metadata and they cannot be replaced once equipped. And they are similar to assets in 5773. Those also have their own metadata. And slot parts allow other tokens to be equipped into them. So basically, once you equip a slot, once you add a slot part to your NFT, it doesn't add an asset to be displayed there, but rather specifies where other tokens can be nested into. So that's where dependency on ERC-6059 comes in, because then you can nest NFTs into that slot part and essentially equipping them. So that's where equipable parts comes from. And as always, we designed this proposal with owner-focused pattern. So you cannot expect the game or the issuer of the collection to just be able to do all this on your behalf without your knowledge. Because this way, we're protecting the owners of the tokens to have the tokens that they expect. They cannot be forced to equip items that they don't want or that are possibly illegal to have, or, you know, items taken away from them if they worked really hard to obtain them. And, you know, shout out to one other non-dependent ERC. So with the addition of transferable interface of ERC-6454, then you could have soulbound items. So this can come really handy in gaming and also in other aspects that we'll highlight in the next slide. But this means that, similar to RPGs where you can have soulbound items, NFT equipped NFTs can also be soulbound to the owning NFT. So this also adds kind of a new mechanic that can be explored here. So I also pre-shadowed the use cases, but let's jump right into them. So one is composing, and I think I kind of spoke about this in the previous slide a lot. So multiple NFTs can work together to create a greater construct. So prior to this proposal, you could do that, but in a proprietary way. You would check the wallet and either assume what the user wants to render. Let's say you have a collection of, you know, 5 compatible tokens. One would be the character, and then you might have 2 weapons and 3 armors if we're talking about a Web3 game. And the issue here would be that if you just looked at their wallet and rendered, you know, compatible items one on top of another, then your character would have 3 armors equipped and 2 weapons, which would be unpredictable. So another solution would be to kind of keep track of which items does the user want to have equipped in either a centralized way, so on a server somewhere, or in a separate smart contract. But up to this point, a proprietary smart contract. And this actually allows us to get the predictable composition of NFTs. And this is really important. And, you know, gaming is the easiest to explain, so that's what I'm focusing on it. But it really can be so much more. Let's say you have a Web3 architecture company and you have a base blueprint, and then you allow the customer to kind of equip each room by itself and then different features into that room. So this would be separate NFTs that are kind of pieced together, and based on, you know, the detail or the complexity of the room, the prices could vary. There could be additional constraints, and it's important to know that where you placed different rooms. So usually the dining room is next to the kitchen. And if they were in the wallet and there was also a bedroom in the same wallet, we don't want bedroom to be rendered next to the kitchen and then dining room somewhere north facing. So this kind of allows us to do a lot of predictable composition and some really cool constructs. Another one is token progression. So I'm regressing back to the gaming. So as the token progresses through various stages, it can attain or be awarded various parts. So in a gaming sense, this would mean that, you know, as you progress through the game, you get better gear, you get new skills, and all of that can be equipped into your base token, your base character. If we are talking about a DAO, then this would mean that your base DAO membership NFT can also attain different parts. So this could mean that if you have an elephant that you use to kind of get into the DAO limited spaces, then this elephant could get a headgear that symbolizes that you're an active member of the community and allows you even further. So this can also tie it to different aspects, not just gaming. And with that, I'll let Steven talk for a while.
Okay, so next use cases is mirror tracking. There was a really nice experiment that happened on the chain that gave birth to this standard, which was Kusama. So in that blockchain, people could participate in governance with the native tokens. So what we did was that we sent a shelf to people the first time they participated in governance. And then every time they voted on a referendum, which is how it works there, they would receive an NFT related to that referendum. So people started building those shelves showing how they were active participants of the decisions that were taken for the blockchain. And that was a really good incentive for people to actually participate. It's not it doesn't have a value, although they were sold and for value. But the more important thing is that it shows that you are in this specific case, that you're an active member, that you care about the blockchain. So this can be applied in several other spaces where, for instance, if you review smart contracts or if you do open source stuff or different actions in the Web3 block space or whatever other real life space, you would get merit. There could be a registry or a DAO which provides these merit tokens, and then you can equip them into your reputational avatar, for instance. So this is a very cool thing that ERC-6220 opens. Another one that I like a lot is a provable digital scarcity. So here I'll go back to gaming because it's the simplest to explain. Let's say I have a sword NFT. I have a collection of swords and there are 1,000 swords. And they can go into 1,000 monsters of some collection. Now, since we can share the catalog between different collections, and the catalog defines this, not only the fixed parts that you can cherry pick to build NFTs, but also the slots where things can be equipped. Different collections could use the same catalog. So they define, for instance, that these swords can be equipped either on the right or the left hand of the character. And that could happen not only for the original Monsters collection, but for other two or three collections with different max supplies. So initially you had a sword that you could put it in one of 1,000 monsters. But as more collections start adding the discompatibility, then you could end up with a sword that it's equipable into 10,000 or more different characters. So it becomes much more valuable. And you don't need the idea that we want to shift with this also is to create a higher sense of community. So we don't want people to start building order collections and like every game has, I don't know, 10 different assets, like the game character and the armor and the weapons. We could start seeing very interesting collaborations. And even if the games have different styles, thanks to the multi-asset ERC, they can also, like each of them can propose an asset that will match nicely with the style of each of the game, but they could reuse each other's collections. So for instance, I can, let's say Ian and I have our own collections and they are both, I don't know, fighting characters, and I create a collection of swords and he creates a collection of shields for his collection and my swords were for mine. We can create this, like we can expand the utility of our NFTs if we talk and agree that my swords should be equipable to his monsters and his shields should be equipable to mine. So this, I think it's something really powerful that we don't talk about enough, but I think this will create bigger communities and collaborations between projects. Okay, so same as in the other two EIPs, we already provide this NPM package, which is open source. All the code is open in GitHub. So you can use the package. We also provide EVM template, which installs this package and hardhat and all the tools that you need. So it's really easy to start developing and using these contracts, all these ERCs, the same way as you would do with installing OpenZeppelin package and importing their implementation of ERC 721. With just a few lines of code, you can deploy a contract using that. We do exactly the same with each of our ERCs. This package already has four ERCs in final, which is the multi-asset, nestable, this, equipable, and the non-transferable. And here in the package, an important thing that we do is that we have a distinction between non-opinionated and opinionated implementations. So we provide for each of the packages a core version where we don't make any assumptions on how you want to use the things, like how you want to mint or burn or any other gating or restrictions that you may want to add. So if you want something more specialized, you can build on top of that, but you don't have to reinvent all the wheel, just the final parts. And we have three opinionated implementations, which are absolutely ready to use. You just deploy that, setting the like max supply, symbol, and name, and contract metadata, all this stuff, and you're ready to go just with a few lines of code. All this package is highly tested. It's close to 100% coverage in the different ways it is measured. And this project implementation is already being used by different games on EVM, such as Snake Soldiers and Everloop. And as I mentioned, this was not the EVM implementation, but a nice example of how merit tracking can be used for governance was done in Kusama. And we could use exactly the same on any chain.
Also, I just like to add one more implementation, which we're kind of super excited about, that we just went live on Monday, right? So all of our ERCs are also implemented in Singular Marketplace. So, you know, if you have multiple assets, if you have nestable tokens, that can also be seen there. So there is also already a marketplace that supports our ERCs.
Nice reminder. Okay, so what tools do we have for dApp development? We have extensive documentation of this ERC and all the implementations and extensions and utilities we have in the package. We have some video tutorials of going to the creation of an advanced NFT collection using 6220, 6059, and 5773, and also 6454, which is for non-transferable. We had a few developer journeys which are more focused on how to interact with the contracts. We have the GitHub template I mentioned, where you just fork it and you're ready to go. And the thing I always like to make emphasis on is the forward compatibility. When you build something with any of these ERCs, you don't have to know beforehand all the options, all the functionalities that you want to have, because you can add more tokens, add more assets, configure new ways to equip the items into the others. So this is the more powerful thing, in my opinion. So why is this EIP unique? So first thing is that it works with any type of asset. We always give examples with images and mostly gaming because it's the most common things for NFTs and it's the easier to explain. But you could have, for instance, an NFT which is a bass track for music, and you could have different NFTs. For instance, one is the bass and one is a guitar. And since in our implementations, we use an ERC also for royalties. And as in the marketplace that Jan mentioned, singular.app, we pay nested royalties. So this is really cool because, for instance, artists which create music could bundle their NFTs. Like they could equip different sounds into a bass track, and then they list for selling the bass track. And when the NFT is sold, we will pay royalties to each of the NFTs, not only the bass, but also the children NFTs that are attached and equipped into it according to the interface for royalties, which is widely used. The other thing that this is cool, Jan already explained, is that all this is kept on chain, and being a standard, people don't need to do custom stuff for it. If they agree and they like this standard, they can just start using it. And you could create equipable NFTs, which in the future we hope will be rendered in most marketplaces, at least in the most important ones, without the need of a centralized party or custom logic. I also explained how NFTs become valuable as they add more compatibility or they do collaborations with other projects. I think this is something really cool. Jan also mentioned how you can reuse assets. And one thing he didn't mention is that this is huge for gas savings. So especially on Ethereum, we know gas is a huge problem. So it's really cool because we just want to, like, every single part that we add or every asset for the equipable parts, it just needs to be added once. So for instance, one thing that we see in many NFT projects is that they have different traits, like for instance, different skin and different arms and legs and heads. And it's like, I don't know, 8 to 10 parts, and each of them has 10 options. So let's say it's 10 parts with 10 options. We upload 100 parts, fixed parts, into the catalog, and that's it. We don't need to upload anything else. All the other assets for each of the NFTs can be composed by cherry picking which of the arms, which of the heads, which of the legs from the catalog. So they can also be done randomly, for instance, and without no need for additional logic or to create the assets then offline to upload the combinations. And it's the same with stored parts. So for instance, I may have, as I mentioned, a sword that can work well for different projects. I just need an asset. And I just define in what slot it should go. So the different projects can also use this like set of rules that can be defined in a catalog of which collections can be equipped into which collections and to which slots. Because we don't want, for instance, to equip a sword into the helmet slot. It wouldn't make sense, right? And we don't want them to equip more than two swords. So all these rules can be defined a single time on a catalog, and many projects can reuse it. And at the same time, I can have a collection which uses a catalog for one thing and uses another catalog for another thing, and then a third for yet another thing. So it's very flexible. Okay, I think I mentioned the on-chain, advanced on-chain logic, and again, forward compatible. It's my favorite things from the EIP. I think we can move forward, yeah.
Just to jump in again, so the ERC4 royalties that we are using is 2981.
Yeah, so all our implementations that I talked about in the package, they have by default this royalty standard.
Okay, so let me conclude this by talking about our EIP process for 6220. So when writing this proposal, we learned that less is more. So we prepared quite extensive assets, which is basically example implementation with a lot of tests and a lot of dependencies that you could use to just, you know, copy paste the assets folder and start building your project from there. But we had to purge that. So we ended up with only the most necessary smart contracts and simple tests. And that's okay. We get why it should be like this, because you don't want to bloat the example repository and you don't want to bloat the folders of the people that just want to run simple examples. But yeah, it took 3 proposals to learn that.
May I add something there, Jan?
Yeah, of course.
So one of the reasons we started removing a lot of the nice functionality or utilities that we had on this ERC initially was actually gas size, like contract size limitation. Since this ERC builds on top of other 2 ERCs, and for implementations, we also use, for instance, Ownable, and we use the like ERC 721 metadata, and we use royalties. So when we start adding all this logic, we start getting dangerously close to the size limit on EVM chains. So that was one of the reasons we started trimming. But as Jan said, yeah, less is more. It's usually better to have the minimal interface, which is powerful enough. So it's like a trade-off we're always looking for. But one thing I didn't mention, and I think I haven't mentioned about the package, is that among the utilities that we provide on our EMPM package is that we have different render utils. So these are utility contracts that can be deployed just once per network, and they provide a bunch of utility functions which are just read-only, but make it very convenient for front-end developers. So for instance, on the multi-asset EIP, we have assets which have different priorities, but we don't have a way to get the asset with the top priority directly from the contract, because it's an unnecessary thing for the interface. So there's a render util which will call get all the assets, get all the priorities, and get the top one for you. And for equipable, we have a really cool functionality that will compose an NFT by reading all its children, reading the catalog, and reading the assets for each of the fixed parts and slot parts. And when there are slot parts, that means a child can be equipped into there. So it will read the asset of the child. So all this, we're trying to make it as easy as possible for front-end developers and smart contract developers also. So that's something you may want to look at. It's on the remark utils, equip render utils, I think it is. And you will find other utils there.
Yeah, so this is something that we've been doing. Also, we have 2 implementations of ERC 6220. One is merged and another is split. So basically, we further split the operation into an additional smart contract so that nestable and multi-asset parts of equipable smart contract are separate. And this way, there is more space for custom logic. But what I was talking about in less is more, the assets folder that you add to the proposal, because this was the proposal that wouldn't get into draft if we didn't remove them. Right. So I remember PandaPip looked at our assets, and yeah, it was basically a complete project, hard hat project using 6220, ERC-6220. And yeah, that I was talking about here. So, and less is more. So basically we needed to tone down because we had quite a lot of, you know, prettier options. And I know that our hard hat config had a lot of configuration that would allow you to run gas profiling and stuff like that. So we removed a bunch of configs and stuff like that. So right now it's just, you can compile and you can run tests and that's pretty much it. And another thing that kind of stood out compared to our other EIPs was no activity in the discussion thread. So we might have gotten discouraged here because, you know, if you don't get any feedback, that either means that you weren't clear enough when writing a proposal or that it's too complex to be explained easily. But what gave us confidence to push through is that we have projects implementing with 6220. We've talked to the developers that implemented Equipables before going into the EIP process already. And we've had experience with equipping from Polkadot ecosystem. So we kind of had this feedback from the developers and from the users that this is useful and they want to use it. It's just that it probably got drowned by a bunch of threads that got opened when we posted, and this way we didn't get any feedback on it.
Recently on the thread of another proposal, we saw someone asking if they could equip NFTs into another one. So I mentioned this ERC to him and he seems really happy with it. I think another thing that happens is that people don't expect NFTs to be able to do so much. So, but it's a good problem to have, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, definitely. And that's why we're here, right? That's why we're talking about ERCs every week, not just us, but the authors as well, the other authors as well, right? So hopefully more people learn about it before it goes mainstream, wishful thinking or reality. We'll see. But yeah, so we also prepared a link tree with additional resources and handy links. So, you know, you can either scan the QR in the presentation or go to linktree.ERC.remark. And there you have the links to all of our ERCs and our EIP that is still not finalized. A link to the template repository, a link to the NPM package, to the documentation on how to use all of our ERCs and other extensions and various guides from, you know, how to develop the smart contract using Solidity to usability using TypeScript. Once you deploy, how to use them. Steven has a really nice YouTube series about our Legos as well. So yeah, feel free to look further. And with that, I'd like to thank you for your time. And as always, we're available at Twitter. We'd like to talk about ERCs, EAPs, whatever questions, considerations, or complaints you might have. We are JA_JanTurk and StoicDev0. And we're looking forward to talking to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. As usual, I love the presentation, the documentation of EIP, and truly appreciate your effort to increase awareness of available standards. And the NPM packages, they are really great support for our developers. We have heard a lot of words about the standardization process, some encouraging, some not very positive. But I'm so happy to see that you stayed with us, not one, not two, but over 5 proposals to the repo. That's really great. We are hoping to create a page at Ethereum Cat Hurdle's website to maybe share more information about EIPs. I was going through the presentation and you mentioned about projects already adopting this proposal. So it would be nice to have it listed and make this information public so people can easily reach it and maybe able to use this proposal for their projects. One other thing that you mentioned, I made a note of that, is like less is more. I think probably it's enough definitely for an EIP, because when we are trying to have an EIP, we want the proposal to be short so it could be, you know, moving forward easily. It should not have a lot of complexities around. So that's a good thing. And I would say that we should not consider that to be a reason of not getting a lot of feedback. Probably it is clear enough. Don't get confused that it is not clear. But yeah, I think probably it was clear enough because it was like short and we already had learned a lot of things, new things, the concept of NFT 2.0 with earlier proposals.
I'd just like to add a note on the length of the proposal or extensity of it and how it compares to the time needed to go to final. This one was relatively long proposal. I mean, it contains a lot of data, a lot of specification, and the process went smoothly, really smoothly. So we could have had this proposal finalized about probably 2 months earlier. We just wanted to wait because we were building an indexer and we wanted to make sure that all of the events are there so that marketplaces and wallets can properly present equipable tokens. Compared to ERC-6454, where we started with a single method, we ended up with two, but that one actually had way more discussion. It took way longer to finalize and way more effort to finalize than the longer EIP.
Right. And there is an interesting part. When a proposal comes with some of the EIPs as it requires, it cannot be moved until all of those proposals which are in require section are in final. So that is another case. Probably the time it took was good enough. And I am happy to see it was less than 6 months. So that was incredible. Like people say a lot of words about duration that it takes, but doing it in less than 6 months was great. Great to have.
Honestly, at some point it felt kind of, you know, that it's taking a long time.
Yeah, believe me, I have seen proposals waiting for years here. So for this, like the entire team, I mean, kudos to you guys. You have been showing in multiple, you know, meetings that we organize for EIP editing office hour, showing up here to talk about the proposal and do whatever is needed. I have seen you guys active on FEM as well, like responding to it and even following up for review process. Those are great things because we say this EIP process is author-driven process. If an author is around, we will be able to push the proposal because we want a standard to be created so it can be used. So we want to make sure whoever is championing the proposal is around. That's great. That's a great thing to have here. You did mention about proposal 2981, that is for royalty standard. I'm happy to share that we had the author of the proposal, Blaine Malone, on our show to talk about this proposal. This, I think, is one of the earlier proposal, which is good for having a royalty. So good to know that you are also implementing existing standard to kind of build projects in association with proposals you are proposing here.
Yeah, one thing I would recommend to people who are trying to propose an NFT, a proposal, a new ERC, is to go through the list of ERCs, even in the discussion, and search for some keywords. Like if you go to the Ethereum /ERCs, I think it is, by looking like NFTs or Salbond or Composable or these kind of things, you can know if there is already something. So it's ideally, we don't want to reinvent the wheel and to have many similar ERCs. And I think that's also part of what you guys do from the CAT orders. But yeah, just a good thing to keep in mind before you put too much effort into something that maybe there's already something better out there. And it's, I know it's hard to give up what you have done to jump onto another train, but it's for the best, I think.
Really good suggestion. Experience matters. I think with the presentation, we have got answer to many questions that I had on my list. I have a few more. Probably I can take some of them. One thing that I would like to understand, it looks like the slot type of parts, like slot type of parts, fixed type of parts, they are optional. Are there any, you know, suggestion for project developer, like who should be using both? Or is it always recommended to use both in the implementation?
No, so we don't, we don't enforce the use of either. So you can use slot types if you just want the ability to nest other NFTs in these predefined positions, or you can use only fixed types if you have multiple different trades that comprise the base NFT and you want to use that. Or if, you know, you could use both if that makes sense. It's important to identify which work for you, and that's how we design all of our proposals. We give you the ability to, we give you the ability, best of our ability, to do as you wish. So similar to what we talked about 2 weeks ago for Nestable ERC, there we have Nest transfer method that can do six different things. And you can decide which of those six you want to support, or, you know, if you don't want to support some, you don't need to allow them. So it's similar here. We don't require. So if you are using our standard, you need to have slots and as well as fixed parts. You can just have either or both.
One thing to newcomers, to people who's just getting to know 6220, to identify if they need fixed or slot parts, it's really simple. So if you're trying to compose your NFT from different parts, and when you build it, that's it, and it won't change, then you want to use fixed parts. If you want to define slots or like places or placeholders to where other NFTs should be able to be equipped, then you want slot parts. So that's the basic difference. And of course, you can use both.
That's a good summary of it. Thank you so much for it. My next question is with respect to the catalog. So suggest that the proposal use catalog instead of supporting direct NFT equipping. I understand probably it is helping us in verification and also in defining the function. Do we see any kind of trade-off or any downside of not using direct NFT equipping here?
I think one of the powerful things that the catalog provides is that it helps you define rules. So it is you as the collection issuer who define, well, if in the catalog owner, who define what can go into your NFT. So it is, I cannot just simply go and say, I will put this sword on top of this punk because I want it and I own both of them. It doesn't work like that. We want always holders to have the power of not of their NFT not being altered without their approval. But we also want to give issuers the way or the power to guide how they want to use their things. So for instance, as I mentioned earlier, we don't expect a sword to be equipped as a helmet because it doesn't make sense. So it also, having these rules also helps a lot marketplaces and wallets who want to showcase or display these NFTs to know, for instance, if you have a parent token and they are children, you can easily search through the catalog or the render yield tools that I mentioned, where it can be equipped. So it's really important to have a set of rules, a basic set of rules, so people don't do mess things.
That's good. That's good to know. Yeah, it's important that whenever we are choosing alternative over something, then we should have like solid backup reason for that, why we are doing that. So it's good to know that the way we are trying to define.
Actually, I think initially at some point, the catalog was part of the same equipable contract. But this was like over a year ago. So we saw that, like, because we saw the need of the catalog, but then we saw like, well, what if we take it out? Then more people could reuse it. So that was a step forward, an improvement back then. And I think that's, as I mentioned, I think on Nestable's presentation, that's one of the things that helped us more during this process. And it's the fact that although it's valid to just arrive to the forum with an idea in a draft and the community will help you build it, when we arrived to the forum with our draft, it has been tested for over a year in another blockchain, and we have been working on the EVM implementation for also about a year. So yeah, that was pretty helpful. And of course, we saw some improvements, and that's it, the beauty and the objective of the forum. But there weren't really big changes due to that.
Cool. My next question is with respect to other proposals, other composable NFT proposals, which are there in the repository. I'll be curious to hear your thoughts. If it is up to you, which will you promote to move towards final? ERC-998, composable non-fungible token standard. ERC-4883, composable SVG NFT. ERC-5633, composable soul-bound NFT EIP extension 1155. I would also like to hear your thoughts, like why would you support any proposal if you do?
I think I know the first two, but not the other. So 998 was what we found when we were going to propose Nestable, and it had some of the features that we wanted, and it also had some other features like holding ERC-20s. But the way they did it is that they did define an interface where, like, if you wanted an NFT to have children, it was an interface, or if you wanted an NFT to be owned by other, it defined another interfaces. And what we found on the creation of our nestable proposal is that you need the interactions, like the governance, to be only one way, because you cannot trust both parties. If we gave power to the children and I receive a malicious child NFT, then it could affect the parent token that I own. So that's why we were discouraged to use it. And also because it's like trying to solve many things at the same time, like it proposes four interfaces. So I'm not sure that that's the best path to go. I think it should be one thing at a time. And well, the other thing is that when we arrived there, it was already stale, like there was no activity for a while. And I think there hasn't been any. So with 6059, I truly don't see a reason to move forward with the other, with 998. The other one about composable SVGs, I think it focuses more on metadata. And well, it's fixed only on, like, it's limited to SVGs. Whereas, for instance, in multi-asset, we can work with any type of asset, and same with equipable. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe if your use case is only SVGs, maybe it could be simpler. And the third one, I'm not sure I know it. I think I saw it, but I don't remember what the interface looked like.
Yeah, I just checked it. So it basically, the interface defines a single event called soulbound, and function is soulbound. It doesn't really compose NFTs. It doesn't really compose 1155 tokens. It just adds on top of them. So it's
maybe that's a question for when we present not transferable EIP. But we have an answer. Sorry, Jan. Go ahead.
Yeah. I agree. This is kind of similar to what we did for 6454. We also have opinions on that, but I think it's best to kind of say something so that you'll invite us back to talk about transferable interface for non-fungible tokens.
That's a smart, and thank you for that as well. I understand proposal 6220 by number, it suggests that this proposal came later. The earlier proposals that I just mentioned was definitely something missing. That's why it was not moving. Proposal 5633 is currently in stagnant status. That means we do not have author around, and probably nobody is making any effort to push the proposal. However, proposal 998 and 4883, they both are in draft status now. Looks like there have been some effort to resurrect the proposal and to push it forward. So I thought it would be a good idea to collect some feedback and make sure that when these proposals are moving, we do have a solid reason to push that towards final, just not because it is proposed here. So yeah, thank you so much for your feedback on that. It's almost time to wrap up. I'll be curious to collect some word of advice, your thoughts or message that you have for the community here.
We've done that two times before, so I kind of need to think about it, but I do have one which I just came up with. So it would be for the authors, if you have more proposals, you know, layer the content when talking about your proposals, you know, focus in one. I'm talking about PEEP and EIP here. I get that I was confusing. So, you know, do not overshare so that you can talk about the next one on the next episode, that you don't talk about the next one. Oh, now I'm just cycling. Yeah, basically what I said before, like we'll tell you what we think about the 5633 when we talk about our transferable interface.
Yeah, I have a couple of things in mind. So our recommendation to ERC proposers, I've been really active on the forum, and I try to see what's new and what is not necessary, what would be good to have. And one thing I've noticed is that some proposals do not include the interface, which I think it's pretty like a minimal thing you should have when you're proposing an ERC. And also many of them don't have a sample implementation, or they have a sample implementation, but they have no tests. So that doesn't give the best image, and it makes it less easy to review and to give feedback. So that would be my recommendation for proposers. And for builders in general, so this past year that I've been working with NFTs, we've really been expanding the barriers of what technology can do on the NFT aspect. And it's been really, really exciting, because every now and then, either we get a new idea of how we can use these EIPs, or people come from the community to ask us if some weird random use case could be possible. And we usually find the way how it can be done. So it's really exciting to work with these ERCs because we're building the future. We're pushing the barriers of technology, and I invite you to be part of that.
Very yeah. well said.
So I would just like to piggyback on that one. So I think that Stephen kind of undersold our ideas how to bring NFTs 2.0 to life. So we get new ideas weekly. And at this point, it comes down to filtering the ones that help community the most and our ability to actually implement the implementation, test them out, then write the proposal. And so, yeah, we'll probably be publishing another one in about a week or two. And then we all already have another one planned. So we won't leave editor hours just yet. And another thing that you mentioned, Stephen, and I think it was really good, it was about the example implementations, like the missing example implementations, or rather the missing tests. So example implementation is really important because you show how to implement business logic based on the interfaces that you specified in the proposal. But tests actually give you the insight on, you know, the life cycle of the action. So which transactions should be taken in order to use certain features of the proposal. Like, you know, if we have, so for ease of use, I'll use nestable tokens because, so basically there you transfer the NFT to the new parent NFT, and then you accept that new child NFT into active children. So you have two transactions to kind of appoint new child. And in tests, you can see that. We can write about this and we can say, hey, use those functions. But in tests, you can actually see that in action. It's way easier to look at two lines and see what happens, two lines of code and see what happens, than, you know, having to go through two paragraphs of specification and then go look at the specification of the interface and figure out how all of this ties together.
Yeah, even just by the definition of the test, like the behavior you're testing, it's super helpful. That's actually how I started working with all these ERCs. By looking at the tests and writing more tests, I could start getting a good idea of how it worked. So yeah, plus one on tests.
Absolutely. We are also considering this, I don't know if it can be a formal part of requirement of having a proposal move towards the final status, but it will be always nice to have test added so it can be helpful for implementers. Well, thank you for this good piece of advice. NFT is a popular use case of blockchain. Having standards on composable NFT and maybe more probably will help app developers make their life easier. With a hope to see increased adoption of this proposal, I would like to thank Jan, Steven, Bruno, and Team Remark for proposing multiple Ethereum standards for contract developers. And on this note, thanks to everyone watching or listening to NFT special episodes. Should you have any question on this or any other proposal, do let us know in the comment section. Reach us at ecatter.com Discord. Check out description for links to useful resources and guest Twitter to follow. We'll be back with another interesting proposal overview soon. Till then, keep watching, keep sharing your love with Ethereum cat herders. Cheers.